a Bible somewhere in your vicinity. And so we would encourage you to grab one, because I love Genesis 1, 2, and 3, and 4, and 5, and 6. I believe that all of the scripture is displayed in the account of the Torah. Do you know that a God-fearing Jew, which Jesus would have been a God-fearing Jew, that would have had memorized almost the first five books of the Bible? How many people have the first five books of the Bible memorized? Zero. That's what I thought. So today, take out your Bible, and we're going to read Genesis 4. I want to start. Today's message is called The Right to Life. If you don't know, or if this is your first time at Hope Community, we have a pregnancy resource center that encourages life right here in East Houma. Whenever you would Google search abortion, the first name that will come up is not an abortion clinic in New Orleans. Actually, the first name that will come up is Hope Restored Pregnancy Resource Center, which is right here in this building. So it's crazy. It'll be crazy. So people will call us for an abortion. So they're literally calling another line, and they get my sweet voice. And so, which is not always sweet. And so I answer the calls, and we get ladies into the building. And you have to know that this is a church, right? I mean, who are we fooling? And so they'll come in looking for an abortion, but we know that Jesus values life. And so whenever they walk into the building, they feel the presence of the Lord. And do you know that last year, I think 14 babies were saved in this building last year? Crazy. That's crazy. That's God. Now, we've helped almost 100 women, but they were, now we've had some that didn't turn, two or three, but we have a lady. I don't counsel. I'm not gifted in that area. I've never been pregnant, so I don't even know what I'm doing. And so we have a lady that counsels, but we just believe that God will move. Today in New York, the Washington Times is a not Christian newspaper. So there's a difference between a Christian newspaper and a non-Christian newspaper. The Washington Times writes this: the night sky above the One World Trade Center had an eerie, milky, pinkish glow, like a sickening mixture of blood and mother's milk. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo ordered the spire to be drenched in the gala hue in celebration of the state's new law that was passed about 3 weeks ago that permits fully developed preborn babies to be slaughtered, even on what would be their birthday. As he signed the legislation, evil cheered. What had to be the signing of death warrants for countless babies who can be aborted now in New York at any time, for any reason, all the way until the ninth month of pregnancy. Did you know that that passed 3 weeks ago in our country? That this is now happening in our country. As I stared in disbelief at a photo of the illuminated spire, it reminded me of a hypodermic needle. I think we have a picture. Do we have the slides up? Or do we have the slides in there? What's that? The Right to Life. It's actually the sermon I gave you for Home of Christian. I don't know if those slides are up. We're going to pull it up. I gave it to you in an email. So it says this: as I stared in disbelief, all the slides are on there. As I stared in disbelief at a photo of the illuminated spire, it reminded me of a hypodermic needle, like those plunged through the bellies of pregnant women, filled with an acidic poison that is squirted into the fluid that surrounds the baby. And do you know that baby, it will fill his tiny lungs. It will burn the baby's body from the inside out. Or is it more similar to the spear-like suction tubes that are rammed into the base of a baby's head to literally suck out their brains so that their empty skull can be crushed and the newly murdered baby can easily be yanked out of his mother's womb in an abortion? Our governor and legislative leaders hail this new abortion law as progress. He says that, hey, this is progress. And they celebrated so much so that they lit the World Trade Center, that needle that comes up in the sky that celebrates Christmas or celebrates Valentine's Day, they lit it in a hue of pink, saying that life is no more valuable in New York. And they lit it and they celebrated. The cardinal of the Catholic Church in New York said progress will be achieved when our laws and our culture once again value and respect each unrepeatable gift of human life. From the first moment of creation to natural death. So life begins in the womb. Bible says in Psalm 139, for I know you, you have been formed in your mother's womb, that God intricately designed each and every person that hears my voice this morning, that you have a value and your purpose. And yet New York says that you don't have a purpose even at 9 months, that if you your mother delivers you on a table at 9 months that you can abort that baby. Do you know that Vermont is getting ready to follow in that same lawsuit? They're going to say that in Vermont, too, that we can now abort. And it doesn't have to be a doctor anymore. It doesn't have to be a medical. It can be anybody now has the law to kill babies. You know, since Roe versus Wade, that America has killed 60 million babies. Life. The value of life. Do you know that in March of 2018, there's active euthanasia? You might not know what euthanasia is. Euthanasia is where a doctor can administer a lethal dose of medication to anyone and kill them. It's called assisted or physician-assisted suicide. Do you know that in our world today, that in the Netherlands, it is this process is now legal in the Netherlands. It is legal in Belgium. In Belgium, you can administer a legal dose of poison to kill even minors. So young people, 17 and younger, do you know that in Belgium, it would be legal to get rid of your life if there was a problem or something that they didn't like that has just now passed since 2018 in the country of Belgium, Colombia, Luxembourg, and even Canada. Assisted suicide, that's where a physician comes in and assists suicide, is now legal in Switzerland, Germany, the Netherlands, and now in the United States, in the states of Washington, Oregon, Colorado, Hawaii, Vermont, Montana, Washington, D.C., and of course the state of California. Now says that we can have physician-assisted suicide in all of these states. So not only are we aborting our babies, we're letting go of our elderly, and we're saying now life has completely no value. There's no purpose, and life at its biggest moments are no more value because we are no longer saying that we are created in the image of God. 2 weeks ago, a young boy on a Sunday night in Houma got killed for, I heard, $10. All right. If we're going to be honest. So now we have no value on babies, and we have no value on the elderly, and then a young boy gets shot because $10 on some basketball court of some drug deal that went bad, and all we can say is that the life of a human holds no more value. Or do we want to talk about the 795 people in the world who won't have food today because we say, oh, well, we don't want to give money because we want to go and do something else, and the enemy is laughing, because if he can devalue life, then he devalues purpose, he devalues plans, and he devalues vision into people's lives. And so today we want to look at Genesis chapter 4, because I believe, and I think the church should believe, that we have a right to life. No matter who you are in the building, that you have a right to live. If God breathed his breath in you, and that's what it says in Genesis 3, all the other animals God creates, right? The giraffe, the elephant, all those things God speaks into existence. But you know what he does with man? He takes the dust of the ground and he breathes breath into him. The very breath of God is why you breathe in your lungs. So I'm not like a giraffe, and I am not like a monkey. Amen. I'm not like those things that a school might tell me somewhere. I am made in the image of my creator. I'm a child of the king. And my value is in the person and the God who created me. In Genesis chapter 4, it says this, now Adam knew Eve and his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain. So Adam and Eve, if you don't know, they get kicked out of the garden because of the sin, because they said, we want to do this by ourselves. See, the laws that are being passed in our land are saying that we don't want to listen to God's law. We want to have our own laws. And so let's abort babies at 9 months old. Let's take away life. Let's do euthanasia and kill our elderly or in the other country. Oh, let's just kill because someone has some kind of problem somewhere. That's taking life into your own hand, and God has a problem with it, because we are created as image bearers of the king. You are created as an image bearer of the king. It says, now Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived, and she bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. Again, she bore her brother, and his name was what? Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of the sheep, and Cain was a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. Now, just to give you a moment's notice, in Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve had sinned, and so God says he tries to find them in the cool of the evening, and they're hiding against fig leaves. That's what we do, right? When we sin, we hide. Like God doesn't know that we sin. He knows that you sin, so just say, Lord, I sin. Let's move on. Let's get rid of that sin. But that's what we do. We cover ourselves with fig leaves, and we pretend like it wasn't us, but it really was. And so God calls them out. And you know what he does? He takes off the fig leaves, and he does a sacrifice, which sounds strange because we don't sacrifice animals today. But in that time, he takes animal skins and he institutes the first sacrifice. And it's a covering. An innocent blood has to die for the sins of the world. And so that was the first sacrifice. So Cain and Abel both understood that to be pleasing to the Lord, there had to be a spilling of blood. There had to be a sacrifice that was paid. So a fruit offering, me bringing God my vegetables in the Old Testament, though they're yummy, it's not good enough. And so he said there has to be an innocent blood. Why? Because he was setting up Jesus the Christ. Jesus was going to be the ultimate sacrifice. So God was setting a precedent that something innocent was going to have to die. So Cain and Abel are setting up this idea. And here's what it says. It says in verse 3, in the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. And Abel also brought what? The firstborn of his flock and of the fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering. But for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. Not because he liked Cain or didn't like Abel. Not because he had more life or more value. That was not the reason. It was because of the sacrifice. Because Abel bought a sacrifice that was going to be a covering of blood. So it says this in the verse 5. It says, but for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your face fallen? If you do well, will not you be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it. So God is encouraging Cain. Hey, you don't have to give in to this sin or this temptation. And so he's saying, encouraging Cain, hey, you can rule over sin in your life. And then it says in the next verse, verse 8, and Cain spoke to Abel, his brother. And when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother, Abel, and he did what? He killed him. So you see the first murder in Genesis chapter 4. We're no good people. It says that when they were in the Cain rose up against his brother Abel, and he killed him. And the Lord said to Cain, now notice this, immediately in Genesis chapter 3, you see that Adam and Eve sin, and the Lord says to Adam and Eve, where are you? Why are you hiding? So God in chapter 4 is speaking again to humanity. And in verse 9, he says, the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? He said, I do not know. And then he asked God a question. Now this is a question you should never ask God. But he says, am I my brother's keeper? Now God answers because he asked a question. So God answers in verse 10, and the Lord said, what have you done? The voice of your what? Your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. So Cain kills his brother, and God sees. God sees Cain. And God also sees Abel. See, God notices. We are living in a generation of people that think that God doesn't notice. You think that God didn't notice that your parents got a divorce and that hurt you. And you think God doesn't notice because of the situation that you're in. Or maybe God didn't notice when you lost your job. Or God didn't notice when something happened. And what happens is because we believe that we serve a God that is far off and not close to his people. We act out. We're in a generation of people that are acting out because they think that there is a God that doesn't notice. But I'm here to say today that God notices you, that he noticed Cain, and that he equally noticed Abel. That God is a God who is concerned with the life that breathes on the inside of you. No matter who you are, No matter what you've been through, that God says, I noticed you. Not only did I notice you, I created you. I formed you in your mother's womb. He says this. This is what God says. I know when a hair of head falls off your head. Some of y'all got some hair missing as we get older or gray. And God knows everything about who you are. He knows the plans that he has for you, so you don't have to act out, because the God of heaven says, I'm right here. And he notices when Cain kills his brother Abel. And then God says this, the voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. And now you are cursed from the ground, Cain, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hands. And so today, Hope Community Church, I ask you a simple question. What have you done? What have you done? Obviously, you didn't help pass the bill in New York, because none of us live in New York. So you said, well, Tyra, I didn't do that. I've heard about it, but I don't know what to do. You probably didn't approve of that. You may not believe in physician-assisted suicide. You say, well, I don't believe in that, and I can't believe that there's states in the United States of America that is not valuing life. You might not have had any part of the shooting that happened 2 weeks ago, and honestly, like, if you eat all the food in your plate, there's still going to be people that are hungry on the other side of the world. That's just the truth. But still, our brother's blood is crying out to us from the ground. You see, there's a call on the people of God. If you want to know what your calling is, it's not always the people that are on the stage or the people that are big time, like Joel Osteen or T.D. Jakes. Those are people that get the spotlight. But the calling on the people of God is to represent life. It's to say that there is value and purpose in every one of you that is breathing here on the east side of Houma, in the cities, in the country. That we have a God that's saying, there is blood that is crying out to me from the ground. Do you think that God is okay with the aborted babies, 60 million babies? I grew up, I'm 41. I never know a time that abortion was not legal in my country. My kids are going to grow up not knowing of a time when aborting 9-month-year-old babies will not be legal. What a shame. What a shame on us as the people of God. We are our brother's keepers. You are your brother's keepers. You say, well, I'm not related to them by blood, but there are things that we can be doing. Matthew chapter 22, I think we have it on the screen, verses 36 through 40. Jesus is speaking, and there's someone that comes up to him, and he says, hey, I've learned all the commandments. I've memorized Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. What's the greatest of all the commandments? You know, there are over 600 commandments in the Old Testament that they would have to follow. And he goes up to Jesus and he says, good teacher, in verse 36, what is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied this. He said, love your Lord, your God, with all your what? Your heart, your soul, your mind, and all your strength. In other gospels, it says that. And so we see that the calling of the people of God is to love God. You cannot help your neighbor effectively until you love your Savior with all that you are. I'm going to say that again. So many people want to do something good, but they don't love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Those good things will burn up, my friend, before. So God is specific. He says the first thing that you're to do is to love God. Love him with your heart, your emotions, your mind, your physique, Pastor Ted said last week, to love him with your body. See, all of it hinges on that. So you have to know Jesus Christ as your Lord, as your Savior first. You have to know that he loves you, that he sees you, that you serve a goddess, God who notices your needs. And then he says in verse 38, this is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Everybody say like it. Interesting. A lot of people will say that they love God, but will struggle with the next part. And it says, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Do you know that the first five commandments of the Ten Commandments are all focused on loving God? The last five commandments are all focused on loving our neighbor. Love your parents, do this, don't have adultery. Why? We're to love our neighbor. See, all of the law is hinged up on two things. If you can love God with all your heart, soul, and mind and strength, and I love that because I have a hard time following rules, but I can follow too. I have a hard time figuring out things in my life. I'm the girl that like comes to a rolling stop at every stop sign, right? I am. And so the God that I serve says, hey, if you will just love God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and strength, Tara, and then hinge your life because of your love for God, that you will love your neighbor as yourself. So it's working as a hinge. It's like they're tied up together. Because I love God, I have to love people. See, I know people that are Christians that won't love people. And I think that's strange because I think the God that I serve says, my God that I serve, I express my love as I love my neighbor well. As I do the things that God has called to me, it's all hinged, it's all summed up together. These codes that were to bring life says, hey, they're hinged together. If we love God with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength, we would show that by loving our neighbor as ourselves. So who's our neighbor? Anyone that's beside you, anyone that lives beside you, any law that is being passed, don't think that you don't have a voice. You can vote toward a voice. You can say, okay, God, how can you use me? See, on our watch, on my watch, I don't want my children to say, but my mom wasn't concerned about the things of God and loving her neighbor. On my watch, that I would not have my brother's voice crying out from the ground. I don't want to be a Cain. I don't want to say, God, why are you asking me? Because God would say, yes, you are. We're going to have to get up. We're going to have to move. I think the church of God is going to have to wake up from its slumber and say, wow, I didn't even know that those laws existed. We're going to have to use our voice as a mouthpiece. God has said that. Look at Micah. It's on the screen. In verse 6 and 8, it says this. I love this verse. He has shown you all. Mortal, what is good? And what does the Lord require of you? To act. Everybody say act. See, we're not a people that are just going to sit down, but the Lord will require you to act justly and love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. So it's both. Yes, you love the Lord, then your actions will have some kind of action. I don't know. Write a letter to your congressman. I don't know. Vote for a specific way. I don't know. Use less money to buy a Starbucks and say, hey, I'm not going to buy Starbucks. I'm going to help feed the poor. That's an action. Because I love the Lord, it says that my actions will line up to it, that we will work for justice. That these things are not right. It is not right when I think he was 19-year-old brother of mine gets shot because of $10. Those things should concern you. And then my students walk in the building the next day and they're affected because of this guy and they have his pin on their shoulders. Why? Because those kind of things should hurt us because they hurt the people of God. Because their value is in life, and it is not right that 19 and 17-year-old boys are getting shot in the streets. That's not acceptable to the God that I serve. In Proverbs 21 and verse 3, it says this: do righteousness. Justice is more desirable to the Lord than sacrifice. In Jeremiah 22 in verse 3, it says, this is what the Lord says: administer justice and righteousness. Rescue the victim of robbery from the hand of his oppressor. I love that. We had a robbery that happened like 2 weeks ago, not here, in our thrift store. And my husband was able to just, you know, rescue us from the victim of robbery. He may have chased him down into the tunnel. And and I fussed him because we don't have life insurance. And so if he would pass away, you would have to take care of me and my four kids because we would not be able to do this by ourselves. He said, baby, I was doing that for you. I said, no, don't lie. I said, you wanted to be Superman. He said, he chases him down into the tunnel. He's going to be so mad that I shared this story. And so he comes down, and like the dude's going through the tunnel, and he just robbed us, like, you know, from the thrift store. And my husband was angry because he had just helped him on Tuesday to get a ride, and we knew this guy, and so he robbed the store. And so my husband's chasing him down, and the guy starts throwing money, you know, out of the tunnel, like going to go through a tunnel, and then he throws his license, and my husband said, "I got you, man." And so he's actually locked up, you know, because we were robbed. And he's like, "That's not going to happen on my watch." I said, "But I'm just saying, guns are real, Ted." But we should be a people concerned that say, "Hey, not on my watch. This is not going to be an acceptable behavior." Jeremiah 22 and verse 3, it says, this is what the Lord says: "Administer justice and righteousness. Rescue the victim of robbery from the hand of his oppressor." So, you know, there's some landlords that need to hear this verse, amen? And they are oppressing their people, and they're taking things, and they're robbing. It says, "Do no wrong or violence to the foreigner." We need to listen to that as a country, the fatherless or the widow. So God says to take care of the foreigner, and to take care of the fatherless, and to take care of the widow. Do not shed innocent blood in this place. We have to be a people that are concerned, because every person is made in the image of God, and we're to love our neighbors. Some of you in the room, young people, you're going to have to study, and you're going to have to become lawyers and judges. You will. So quit messing around in school and start studying and saying, "I'm going to be the person that starts to make better laws for my country." Some of you, we're going to need godly judges. We're going to need godly people. Young people, we are counting on you. I will pour my life into you so that you will rise up and become the man or the woman of God that God has intended you to be. Some of you, and you might have to be judges. Some of you are going to have to be teachers and doctors. You're going to have to be a doctor that fights for life. You're going to have to rise up and say, "I'm going to be in the medical profession, and I am going to fight because I know that my Creator says that every beating heart is a life." Yeah. We got to be professionals and givers and nonprofit directors and activists. Some of us in the room, we're going to have to open our mouth. You're going to have to not care what is socially acceptable. Now, I know we live in the South Louisiana, and most people that I run into do not believe in abortion because of where we live. That's a blessing. But that might not be forever. If we look at life and the way that it's going, we are going to have to be a people that don't shut up with our words, but more importantly, with our actions. We're going to have to say, "Enough is enough. I see my brother's blood on the ground, and not on my watch, God. Not on my watch. I believe that every single person has a right to life." You're going to have to say, "It concerns me that my brother's blood is crying out from the ground." And fundamentally, you believe, as we love our neighbor, that everyone has a right to life. So how are you going to do it? I said, maybe skip a Starbucks. Maybe one meal a month, don't go out to eat, and instead give that to some organization that's doing what you believe in. Give your time. You could give your time right here. If you're a lady, donate your time and come and work at the Pregnancy Resource Center. Help us to have the vision for moms. Maybe there's something that's burning your heart. Find that ministry. Young people, give your summers. I am going to call you out because I believe that God has intentionally given you young life so that you can give your summers for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Give your college years. If you're single in the room, I was single until I was 32. You use your single years for the glory of God. When you got four kids, you don't have as much time. You don't. But whenever you're single, you can use your single years for the glory of God. You can learn more. You can be a better student, young people. You can be active. You can let God stretch you and say, "Okay, God, I give you my life. Whatever you want to do, whichever way, as you love God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, He will show you." That's an incredible thing. I didn't know what I wanted to do, but as I fell in love with the Lord, then I began to love my neighbor, and He began to show me the ways that I can help people. And some of them, you know, I'm not good at everything, but you are. You have a gifting and a purpose to stand up, because we believe that everyone has action and they have a right to life. Put action behind your faith. Don't just say that you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength without loving your neighbor as you do yourself. I love the saints.
Amen.
Amen. I love sports too much. It's weird. I'm a woman. I know. I love the Saints. I love New Orleans. I love the city. I love the Pelicans. I hate that Anthony Davis is leaving. You don't comment. Thank you. Thank you for grieving. Thank you for grieving with me. I love it so much so that I was on Twitter on Thursday. I was working in the thrift store, and they said, please just stop talking about it. Who cares? And I do. I love the city. I cheer for the Saints. I cheered for the Saints when I was a young kid, and we put brown paper bags over our heads. You know what I'm talking about. I'm not a bandwagon kind of girl. I don't just cheer for the Lakers because they got LeBron, and I don't just cheer for the Patriots because they got Brady. I don't care. I believe in my city, and so I have cheered for my city from, like, when I was a little kid, and you and I both watched the game, right? We both watched the game of horrors and the bad calling play. I remember just not talking for like minutes, you know, that's big for me. And so I didn't talk for minutes after the game, and my heart is broken. And my husband, he sort of gets over it a lot quickly, but like anytime it comes up, it just irritates me and it gnaws on me, you know? And I'm like, please just don't talk about it. But it has been amazing to me to see the response of the Who Dat Nation. You can cheer because I'm coming for you. You know, it has been like the people love the Saints so much, and they believe in the Saints so much that they have put action beyond their belief. They had signs. You know that people boycotted the Super Bowl. We boycotted the Super Bowl. We love the Saints that much. So we are so intense that not only did we not watch the Saints game, we literally turned it to another channel, like the cooking channel, so that the whole city will know. And do you know that it worked? Do you know that this Super Bowl was the least watched Super Bowl in 10 years? And in New Orleans, like, significantly worse, right? I mean, when you get an action behind your belief, I mean, things begin to happen. So do you know that people were boycotting the Super Bowl? They threw parties in New Orleans. We did not go. But, I mean, I was in it in spirit. Do you know that people bought billboards in Atlanta? In Atlanta, whenever the Rams and the Patriots went to play, there were billboards throughout the city of Atlanta. We got robbed. Go Saints, whatever. People love the Saints, so they put their money behind the Saints. Do you know that there were some people that said, hey, Atlanta fans that wanted to put like anti-Saints billboards up in New Orleans. And the people of New Orleans, though they could have made tons of money on these billboards, said, no, because I love the Saints, I will not take your dirty Atlanta Falcons money. Amen. Amen. We were robbed. So they put billboards up in Atlanta. They won't allow them. Do you know that that taunting rule and the NFL has been sued? Do you know that the NFL has been sued? Do you know that players, my favorite, even Ben Watson, has written petitions to the higher-ups? Do you know that Sean Payton sits on the board? And eventually, you know that that rule is going to change, right? Because people have put their belief and their love for the Saints so much so that there is actions for it. And I want to say, though I love the Saints, the Saints are not eternal. There may be football in heaven. There may. I'm praying. But I do know that the God that I serve is living forever, and that the breath that he has given each human being is forever. And because I believe with all of my heart and all of my soul and all my mind and all my strength that my actions should follow it so much so as if I were following the Saints. So if I need to throw a billboard up, I'm going to do it. In fact, you're going to see some billboards in Houma in a little while. They're free because we ain't got money. But they'll be free. And so that saying about the right to life, you're going to see them in the next couple of weeks. You know that we were going to go to New York. We get our tax money back, and we always like to take a trip with our kids somewhere that they've never been. And we said we're going to go to New York. And you said when that law passed, Ted said, let's not do that. Let's not throw money into a system that doesn't believe in the right to life. I don't know if that's going to work or if New York will even care. But all I know is for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And we're going to say, I love the Lord. I love the Lord so much that my actions will follow it. What a shame. What a shame on the believers that the saints are so much more active. The Saints fans in this area are so much active than the saints of God. We have to say life is value. Right to life is valuable. Would you bow your head, please, and close your eyes? Today, what is God calling you to do? It's crazy. If you know me at all, like, my gifting is not even the Pregnancy Resource Center. It's why we're going to hire a director. But when they asked me to take over that center, they said, Tara, if you don't take over it, it's going to shut down. And I looked at them, and we had a church that we were starting. We run a nonprofit. And I remember going through files. We can't say too much because it's confidential, but they were showing me file after file of women that came through the center with beating life on the inside of them. So much so that sometimes they'll take an ultrasound and you can see the heartbeat. I never forget looking at one of those files, and that woman knew, because she had an ultrasound that this center provided her, that there was a beating life inside of her, and she still chose to have an abortion. I remember being in my office, and I just remember crying, and I don't cry, and I just remember weeping before the Lord, and I just said, God, I know I'm not called to this, but I see my brother's blood crying from the ground. And this is not going to happen on my watch. See, God has a call on your life, young people, old people, whatever class you fit into. God has a calling on you, that you would love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, so much so that you would begin to love your neighbor as yourself. And He will place you within your giftings and your callings, and He will use you for His glory. He wants to do that. That's why you're so valuable to Him. He sees you. You serve a God who sees you. He knows the pain that you've been through. He knows what has happened to you. He knows the desires of your heart. I used to think that God didn't, in a moment, love me, because my husband and I, we tried for years to have a baby. And I remember just going home and thinking, God loves everybody else, but He doesn't love me. Because we're trying to have a baby, God, and we can't. But I didn't know that there were four hearts beating on the other side of this globe, that every single night that they were praying that God would give them a forever family, but God did. And they were in a Christian orphanage, and my youngest, who is the craziest, every night she would pray that God would give her a mommy and a daddy. He remembers. He knows you. If He remembers my little girl at 4 years old, every time she would cry when a new family would come to adopt one of those little babies, but because she was connected to a sister and two brothers, it was harder for her to get adopted. God moved mountains here in East Houma so that my husband and I could go and fight for life of our four little kids that we adore and love and are now a part of our forever family. Life is valuable. Young people, your life is valuable. Don't let bullying at school. Don't believe the lies. That is the enemy. If God saw the blood of Abel, He sees you. And He knows you. I just want to encourage you that He has a commission on your life. He has a purpose on your life. And that is to love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And as you do that well, that God will begin to give you ways to love your neighbor. Today, if you say, you know, I don't know that I love the Lord. I've heard of God. I know that He exists, but I've never asked Him to be the Lord and the Savior of my life. I've never asked Him to be in charge of my life. It starts there. You cannot start with good works. It will just make you die. It will just make you dry. You have to start with a love for the Lord first. And today, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, would you do this? Just stand at your feet and say, I want to love God today with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, all my strength. That's who I want to be. I want to be that person. I want to trust my life. I want to ask God to forgive me of my sins. I want Him to be in my life. If that's you, would you just stand to your feet? I know there's people in the building, but God sent His Son Jesus to die in front of everybody. Is there anybody in the room? And you would say, I want to trust God. I want Him to be the Lord and the Savior of my life. Anybody else that would say, that's me today. I just want to hear Him. I want to know him. Anybody else in the room? There's a couple more people that you were to say, that's me. I just need to hear the Lord. I need to have him in charge of my life. Anybody else? If you're standing in the building this morning, the God of heaven says he created you. Don't let the enemy lie and say you're not valuable. Maybe you don't know who your father is, or maybe your father's not in your life, or maybe your family is a wreck. It doesn't matter. The God who created you knew that. And today he has a design and a purpose for you. He's speaking life and vision into you, and we're just going to confess our sins, and then what he's going to do is just take over your life, and it's going to be for the rest of your life. It's like he's putting a tag. Hey, that's my kid. Don't mess with him. Don't mess with her. She's mine. That's who God is this morning. And so today, as we pray a prayer, and he's just going to ask for your life. I don't know what that's going to look like, but he sure does. When I gave my life to the Lord at 13 or 14 years old, I had no idea where I'd be at when I was 41, because I don't know if I'd have said yes. But just say yes to him, surrender to him, and watch as he leads and guides and protects your life. If you're standing in the room, would you just pray with me? Say, Dear Father, thank you for loving me. I trust that you have breathed your life into me. And today I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of those things that I've done wrong. I believe in my heart that you died on the cross for my sins. I believe in my heart that you rose from the grave. And today I ask that you would be the Lord and the Savior of my life. I give you everything. Help me to love you with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, and all my strength. I give you my life in Jesus' name. God, I pray for those that are standing in this room. God, I pray that you'll cover them, that you'll protect them, fill them with the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord God, strengthen them. God, help them to know that you're kids. And God, you don't give up on your kids. God, if the 99 are well and the one's not, you're coming after them. God, so today I pray that you will speak purpose, speak life into them. God, give them everything that they need. God, help them to love you with all their heart, their soul, their mind, and their strength. And God, help them to love their neighbor as themselves. In the church of God this morning, I'm just going to pray over you as well, that we would be a group of people that get up, that have an action behind our love. You can't just say that you love someone. It's not okay for me just to say I love my husband. I actually have to put action behind that love. It's not okay for the believers in the house of God to say that we love God and not love our neighbor. The Bible says they will know that we are Christians by our love. What if we acted in love? What if we said yes to him and his ways? What if we loved people like he did? Oh, how our world would change. God, help us. God, to love you with all of our heart, our soul, God, our mind and our strength, but God, help us to love others, to care about the cause, God, for justice, God, to care and be concerned about the orphan and the widows, Lord God. God, that we would have a concern, because we love you, God, that we would love our neighbors so well. God, maybe it's just a neighbor across the street. Like, we would just go visit our neighbors. Maybe for others in the room, it's our people or in our school or at our job. God, that we would not be so bullying, but God, instead we'd say, let me just love them because you love us. God, help us, God, to show your love in such real ways. God, that the name of Jesus would be lifted up and that you would draw men to yourself. God, we thank you. God, thank you for life. God, help us to fight for life as long as we live. Because the breath of God lives in us. God, that we'll fight for the breath of God in other people. God, we thank you and we give you all the praise and all the glory in his glorious name. And everyone said, amen. Would you give him some praise in the house of the Lord? We encourage you, find a way to lift up his name and to give all the glory to him. Meet us this Wednesday at 6:30. Hug someone's neck. Tell them two nice things about themselves. You just need to hear it, right? So tell them two nice things, and we'll see you again very, very soon in Jesus' name.